gentlemen. Good to be back. Nice to have you with us for another big hour. We have a situation, Syria, Turkey, Iran, the whole Middle East, but certainly those countries in particular, with respect to how do we deal with each of those countries. In negotiating with Turkey and the Kurds, for example, Turkey and the Kurds don't get along very well, to say the least. That's putting it mildly. And there's a question of whether to use economic means to deal with our shared political objectives in Syria. Perhaps Turkey would join in on that. Maybe the Kurds even. We'll see how that plays out. But what do we do about this? Because if we don't come to some resolution, we're going to be in a state of chaos for the indefinite future. And of course, now with Hamas doing over 200 rocket attacks into Israel, you've got that problem. Big debate going on in Israel about that. The defense minister and the prime minister are at odds over this thing, whether to go in once and for all and take out Hamas and its military capability. We're joined by Matt Brodsky, who studies the Middle East. Mr. Brodsky, always a pleasure. How are you?
Great. Great to be back with you.
Yes, yeah, good to talk to you. This whole situation, well, first of all, let me ask this question. With regard to Turkey, has the release of Pastor Brunson made our relations with Turkey more amenable, so to speak?
No, not really. They may have. It certainly helped, start a process. But the long list that we have to deal with Turkey on is impressive. And of course, they've been using the Khashoggi murder from Saudi Arabia as an opportunity to kind of get in between the United States and Saudi Arabia and that entire anti-Iran coalition. And so to the extent that Turkey keeps publicizing events or information that may or may not be accurate, but keeps this in the on a front burner for the media, it creates more problems for Washington. But, we still have a lot of issues with Turkey that need to be worked out. And at the same time, we still need to work with them when it comes to hammering out a future solution to what's happening in Syria.
All right. So then what's the situation between Turkey and Iran? I mean, are they Turkey's become much more radicalized under Erdogan, becoming much more religious fanaticism. Running that country, are they more in tune now with Iran?
Right. Well, see, the whole religious aspect tends to be of secondary importance. Iran is backing up Hamas. Hamas is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. Turkey supports the Muslim Brotherhood. So when it comes to, the certain strand of Islam hasn't made as much of a difference if it comes to fighting common enemies. And that we've seen for centuries. So really, Turkey has been in the camp with Russia and with Iran sometimes, and that's one process that's happening in Syria. And then in another one, they have their own interests, which is they're very much against the United States partners, which is the Kurds who are doing the fighting on the ground. And so, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that we remember when those young ladies from England decided to become ISIS, I don't know what you want to call them, just ISIS women.
ISIS wives, right.
However you want to define it. They went through Turkey, and many people use Turkey as a conduit to get to ISIS in Raqqa, Syria. In other words, Erdogan didn't stop those people, so it didn't sound as though he was being very oppressive to ISIS. In that case, so I'm wondering where we are. And ISIS is less of a factor now, obviously. But now the question is, how do we resolve the Syria problem? Because it's going to inflame again if we don't get Turkey on our same side. I don't think we could ever get Iran on our side. I mean, it's pointless to even try.
No,
because they have hegemonic interest in running the Middle East. But what about Turkey? And certainly Russia has to deal with the United States. Can we get them to work with us on solving Syria?
We can get Russia to work with us when they understand that we are holding far more cards than they think that that we're holding. The fact is, we are holding a lot of leverage, and they're coming to realize that. When it comes to Turkey, we need to be aware that they're going to continue to try to play all sides, but there are certain ways that we could work together. For instance, they're in control of 10% of the territory in northwestern Syria, which is annoying Russia and Assad and Iran, who would like to recapture that territory. We're in favor of Turkey keeping that territory because we don't want Iran and Russia and Assad to have it. We're in control ourselves with the Kurds of some 30%. Now, we can link those two areas together economically, in which case we would then start putting together a future Syria and basically work to look after some of Turkey's interest, which is we can make sure that there are local Syrians in charge, not what they consider to be Kurdish terrorists who are from Turkey, working with it. So that there's many issues that we need to work out, but it's in America's interest to do it, number one. It's in Turkey's interest to do it. And it's in the Kurds' interest to do it, even though Turkey and the Kurds are not friends by any stretch of the imagination. The thing is, you can still get together over having common objectives the same way that Iran and Hamas or Iran and Turkey have gotten together, even though they have very different ideologies, when they have common objectives. So for the United States, it seems to be you can win more through addition rather than subtraction when it comes to the coalition.
Fair enough, but still the problem remains that the Kurds, and as you point out very clearly, Turkey, are not friendly, and that you're saying that maybe it's in their self-interest to try to put that aside. But what that tells me is that you have a very tenuous situation. In other words, one wrong move, it's kind of like having the fires in California. You drop one match accidentally, and you might start a blaze that, God forbid, kills a bunch of people, which is not because of a person dropping a match, but it's happened, over 50 people dead. So, in other words, you've got a similar situation with that fire between Turkey and the Kurds. Sure, so it's like Hamas and Israel. So they make a peace agreement or a peace accord of some sort, a ceasefire anyway, and then 200 rockets fire just before the ceasefire takes effect. I'm not sure what makes you believe that Turkey and the Kurds could actually put something together that would last as opposed to be a lightning rod for problems?
Well, what Turkey's concerned with when it comes to the Kurds in Syria is that it doesn't want that group run by PKK, which are Turkish-based terrorists from their perspective. There are other Kurds who aren't involved in that part. You know, the United States can work with Turkey to vet which type of Kurds can actually be in political councils running specific areas. This would give Turkey a say in some of this, and the United States a say in a lot of this as well. But this is something that it would want to make sure that the weapons that the United States has been giving to the Kurds aren't going to be turned against Turkey, as had been done in the past when the PKK ends up getting weapons. From Turkey's perspective, if nothing does happen, though, and the United States doesn't embark in any process like this, then they're just simply worse off than they were before, because they're not going to attack the United States. They have no choice.
Well, fair enough. Then we'll come back and pick it up. And really, the bottom line question is, what's the best we can hope for in terms of Syria? With Assad, it's a wild card. Can we neutralize him and make Syria safe for its citizens?
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Was The Exorcist a fictional movie? This is Mike Siegel. Once you hear my interviews with Father Eugene Gallagher recorded in March of 1974, you will believe that possession and exorcism are powerful and real forces in the universe. Father Gallagher taught William Peter Blatty on the subject of exorcism, which led Blatty to write the book and result in the production of the film version of The Exorcist in 1973. Father Gallagher's interviews with me were so powerful that Warner Home Video decided to use 20 minutes of our 2.5-hour interview in the 40th anniversary release of The Exorcist last year. Now you can have the entire 2.5-hour interview on DVD. Order your copy of this unforgettable interview at www.mikesiegel.com. That's www.mikesiegel.com. Keep the lights on when you watch this compelling interview. www.mikesiegel.com. That's S-I-E-G-E-L.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99 and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Let's get back to it. Mike Siegel and Matt Brodsky is with us as we wrap up on the question of how to deal with Syria. You talk about, Matt, the idea of having a joint fund from the Syrian oil being sent to Turkey, and that joint fund would be administered by the United States, Turkey, and also representatives of the Jazeera region outside of Assad's control. But it begs the question, Syria is a country. You would like to think at some point it could be united as a country or else balkanize it and turn some section of it to the Kurds for a Kurdish state or however you want to handle it. But is there ever the possibility that Syria could be, as is geographically now, a unified sovereign state?
Yes, eventually. That's what the goal is. But in the meantime, if you start creating an economic environment that, first of all, fosters cooperation between Turkey and the Kurds to begin with would be good to be, which would be a good starting point. The oil revenue, 90% of which is under American and the Kurdish control, you could really spark an economy and give places for the international community to then start putting funds together for reconstruction. And from this, political leadership could then start to come to the fore. At the same time, when it comes to Assad, the United States has made rather clear that there needs to be a political transition, and that pretty much means away from Assad in the current form of government. So in the meantime, to the extent that the United States and its allies can demonstrate that they're fine going at it alone, and with the international community and the UN backing them up, then this is a good thing, because there's really nothing that Russia and Iran can do to really rebuild. They don't have reconstruction funds. And so Russia in this scenario is going to end up having to make a deal for its own good. And that means making a deal with the United States. And that means putting Syria back together, but under something that isn't Assad. And that's, I think, in everyone's interest, except for Russia and Iran's interest.
Well, that's part of the problem, is they're pretty powerful. Well, at least Russia's a powerful interest. Iran is losing its economic power anyway, and its political clout. Right. And a lot of businesses in Europe are choosing to be with the United States instead of Iran, obviously. So that's a good thing, hurting the Iranian economy. But if you have, let me ask it this way. Is Assad now neutralized in the same way that Gaddafi was neutralized after Reagan did the big hit and bombing in Libya? Because after that, Gaddafi became a good boy. I mean, he helped us. He gave us intelligence in the 90s, all of that. Is Assad now in the same position, or is he still toxic?
He's still toxic and always will be toxic, if for no other reason than geography and who his partners are. The big partner for Gaddafi was the PLO, as annoying as they have historically been. They were never something on par with Iran. And Gaddafi was always in control of what he wanted to have happen inside of his territory when it came to the PLO. In Assad, in Syria, Assad's essentially a puppet of Russia and Iran. Iran is going to be consistently expanding its influence throughout the region, and there's really not much that Assad could do about it. Even if he wanted to, Iran is simply too powerful. So the devil we know is, in fact, the devil, which is why we should want to deal with something other than him.
So he's actually of a different makeup than Gaddafi, because Gaddafi was a bad guy. But apparently I'm hearing you say that Gaddafi was more pragmatic and Assad is more zealous and almost psychopathic.
Correct. And as you say, look, you look at the Reagan bomb and killed part of his family when it didn't, in fact, hit Gaddafi. That sent a very strong signal. What signal is Assad going to get out of this entire year, these almost a decade of war? The fact that he can slaughter 500,000 people and still come out on top. I mean, if anything, you will have a more emboldened Assad than before. Even if he were able to exercise his own judgment and act on his own, but he won't get to that point, because in that type of scenario, he would still be doing the bidding of Iran and Russia. That's why it's in our interest to make sure that he's moved to the side. Otherwise, you're merely setting the conditions back to what set off the civil war to begin with. So, look, there are no easy answers in Syria. That's what we're discussing. That's why I'm proposing alternatives or solutions to get there. But the fact is, diplomacy is required, and there are many steps along the way, many things that could go wrong. However, this is what you need to do when you have interests in the wider Middle East, and a lot of them converge in this one area.
Now, a lot of this is not being talked about much lately because we have election corruption allegations in Florida. We have the election spinoff and the analysis about how the Democrats taking the House and all these other things. This stuff has been on the back burner. But I noticed that the Institute for the Study of War is warning that a war between Turkey and the Kurds, the form of a wider war, is possible, is looming on the horizon. Isn't this, it seems to me at least,
This is a very serious problem that would affect directly the United States and decisions about sending our own troops in if necessary, and we may or may not do it, but it may come to that kind of decision because of the volatile nature of the relationship between the Turkey and the Kurds, at least according to the Institute for the Study of War. What about that?
Exactly. So we've been working with the Kurds to go after ISIS in the southern area that we're with them. And then Turkey had been agitating along the northern border. So the Kurds then stopped fighting with us against ISIS, which is our number one objective, and then moved to defend their own positions up north. We're still with them. So Turkey's not actually going to invade or bring together, you know, start sending in the tanks and the cavalry, so to speak. But the fact is, they're not going to attack the Kurds full on if they're still with the United States. But this is why the United States needs to get involved in this discussion with Turkey. We just started joint patrols with them at in the city of Manbij. That's the city that's right in between the area of Syria that Turkey controls and that we and the Kurds control. We can explain to Turkey that we will look after the Kurds and ensure what they're looking for, but they have to work with us. That is a much better option for them, because otherwise, as long as we're with the Kurds, Turkey is going to still have questions. It's simply going to be a matter of Turkey needing to understand that it is within its own interest, and we're going to have to do a really expert job of making sure they get it through diplomatic means, and frankly, by what we've been doing, which is beefing up our military positions, which sends a message to Russia, who's been agitating across the Euphrates River, but also sends a message to Turkey and any other countries that think that they want to, you know, play loose with their guns.
If we only have 40 seconds, if we stopped working with the Kurds, does that mean that Turkey might be more likely to attack the Kurds?
Yes, and that's why the Kurds would then cut a deal with Assad, and it would strengthen Assad and Iran and Russia. We would be the weakest power out there. Turkey would still have gained nothing from the situation. This is why we're presenting an opportunity.
Well, it sounds like it's the same thing as leaving Iraq when Obama took our troops out of Iraq. We'd be leaving a vacuum once again, and Turkey would fill it. Always a pleasure, Matt. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
You are listening to GC.